Hi, my name is Dr. Sara Rosengren. I'm a professor of marketing and retailing at the Stockholm School of Economics in Sweden. I'm also one of the co-authors of Marketing, 5th edition by Oxford University Press. This podcast is about Chapter 10, Principles of Marketing Communications. Marketing communications is about developing messages that can be understood and acted on by target audiences. The purpose of this chapter is to introduce some of the fundamental ideas and concepts associated to such communications. We will describe the nature, purpose, and scope of marketing communications. We will explain three models of communication taken from communication theory, and we will also introduce models for understanding marketing communications and advertising more specifically. We will also discuss the role of marketing communications in marketing and the different steps in the strategic marketing communication planning process in the book. We will also describe what culture is and explain how it can impact on the use of marketing communications. In this podcast, however, I will focus on the first couple of points, defining and presenting some of the models. Okay, so let's get started. Marketing communications can be defined as a management process through which an organization attempts to engage with its various audiences. By conveying messages that are of significant value, audiences are encouraged to offer attitudinal and behavioral responses. Although the four P's of the marketing all convey information about the product or service, marketing communications typically refer to the planned part of the communication and can be seen as a more contemporary term for promotion. Marketing communications can be considered from a number of different perspectives. Although it's an activity used by organizations with varying degrees of sophistication, it is mainly concerned with the way in which audiences are encouraged to perceive an organization and/or its offerings. We can therefore conclude that marketing communications is an audience-centered activity. The role of marketing communications for an organization is to engage audiences, and there are four main tasks that it can be used to complete. These tasks are summarized in the acronym DRIP, meaning to differentiate, to reinforce, to inform, or to persuade audiences to behave in particular ways. Differentiating is about setting the offer or organization apart. Reinforce is about using communication to remind people of the offer or the organization. Inform is about telling audiences about what you have to offer. And persuade is about getting people to believe that your offer is better than other offers. Several of these tasks can be undertaken simultaneously within a campaign, and we will discuss them a bit more in Chapter 11. Okay, so how can we understand marketing communications? Communication theory is useful for this. According to communication theory, communication is the process by which individuals share meaning. Communication theory thus helps us explain how and why certain marketing communication takes place. In the book, we have three different frameworks or models that we present. The linear or one-way model of communication is the traditional mass media interpretation of how communications work. In this model, communication follows a sequence where a source encodes a message that is then transmitted to a receiver who decodes it. In the model, successful transmission of the message depends on whether it's an overlap of understanding and how much noise there is in the transmission process. Feedback is also needed in order to assess whether communication has been successful or not. In the two-step model of communication, sometimes this model is referred to as the influencer model, the influence of other people in the communication process is also acknowledged. The two-step model thus refers to the fact that communications from media or marketing might reach people via other people. This model thus depicts information flowing via various media channels to particular types of people who other members of the audience then refer to for information or guidance. There are two main types of influencers in this framework: opinion leaders and opinion formers. Opinion leaders are ordinary people with a heightened interest in a particular topic, could be the friend you have that knows everything about cars. And opinion formers are people who are professionally involved in the topic, such as a car journalism list, for instance. The third model that we present is the interaction model of communication, and it explains how communication flows not just between a sender and a receiver, but throughout a network of people. In this model, interactions are about the actions that lead to a response, and more importantly, in the age of interactive communication, interactivity is seen as a prelude to dialogue, and dialogue can be considered the highest or purest form of communication. In a dialogue, you have reasoning, which requires both listening and adaptation skills. Dialogue is concerned with the development of knowledge that is specific to the parties involved, and this could be seen as learning together. These three models are general communication models. There are also several models concerned with marketing communications more specifically. Still, there is no coherent theory or model explaining how marketing communications or advertising works. So the different frameworks can be divided based on their general idea of how advertising works. According to strong theory of advertising, marketing communication and advertising can persuade people to buy a product or brand that they previously had not purchased. This view typically relies on sequential approaches such as the AIDA framework and hierarchy of effect models to explain how advertising works. According to the weak theory, buying behaviors are driven by purchasing habit rather than by exposure to promotional messages. In this view, advertising is considered to be a defensive action. It's about retaining customers and increasing their brand usage. Advertising is thus used to reinforce existing attitudes, not necessarily to drastically change them. Both the strong and weak theories of advertising are important because they are equally right and equally wrong. The answer to the question, how does advertising work, lies somewhere in between the two, and it depends on the context. When consumers are highly involved, the strong theory is most applicable. However, for the vast majority of our purchase decisions, we have low involvement, and here advertising is more about maintaining awareness, and the weak theory can be considered more applicable. To understand how marketing communications work, a circle model of the attitude construct is also helpful. This model focuses on the three steps of attitude formation: learning, feeling, and acting, but it doesn't place them in a specific sequence. The focus in marketing communications should be on what the audience requires. It might be on the learning, it might be on the feeling, or it might be on the doing components. In other words, for marketing communications to be audience-centered, we should develop campaigns based on the overriding need of the audience on any point in time, based on their need to learn, feel, or behave in particular ways. To conclude this chapter, we also discuss a planning framework for marketing communications, as well as the role of culture in marketing communications. When it comes to the frameworks, it's best to have a look at it and go through the different steps. When it comes to the role of culture, organizations that practice marketing communication in international environments have to be fully aware of the cultural dimensions associated with each of their markets. They also need to consider whether it's better to adopt a standardized approach and use the same unmodified campaign across all markets, or if you need to adapt campaigns to meet the local market needs. So that was it for now. Take care and thank you for listening.